picture of him this morning. He is a reptile guy. He breeds reptiles, and a couple years ago, he opened what he calls the Reptarium, which is a place where you can go and actually interact with them. You can hold snakes and lizards and even alligators. And so I just love this dude because he's passionate about animals. I'm passionate about animals, and so I love checking in. And he always starts off the vlog with, "Let's push all our problems inside and have some fun for a moment." And that's, you know, that's hard sometimes, right, for a lot of us. But what was really cool is he's got these really unique, he's got a couple of really unique animals. He's got a double-headed snake and a double-headed turtle. And I hadn't seen them in a vlog for a while. I don't watch every day, so I missed a couple. And I wrote in the comments, and he says this all the time, "Hey, check into the comments, let me know how you're doing." He's got over 2 million followers. But I wrote, "Hey, I haven't seen, you know, the double-headed turtle in a while." And the coolest thing happened. I'm sorry, just go with me. You know, feel my giddiness with me, right? And so, like, a little while later, I checked in to see if he saw my response, and he responded back to me. I was like, "What?" And I told my wife, I was like, "Honey, you responded back to me." And she was like, "Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Who cares?" Who cares? I think one of the things that I've seen manifest the most during the pandemic is this concept of loneliness. We're separated from one another. We can't interact the way we want to. Even my introvert friends, which literally, if you don't realize this, make up half the country, right? For my extroverted friends, we're not the only ones on this planet. Even for my introverted friends, they're like, "All right, enough's enough. I gotta have some interaction." And so as we've been going through this series called PPE for Your Soul, I wanna hammer down this morning on this concept of loneliness and start with this pretext. You are never alone. I want to start at the end. You're never alone. And a lot of us need to hear this because you can be in a room full of people, hundreds of people, and feel completely and utterly alone. And the truth is, you never are. So I want to give you some tools this morning on how to combat this. From Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is where we're going to be at this morning. So if you want to open to Psalm 139, it's about the middle of your Bible if you have a physical copy. If you're on your phone, just, you know, jump on there, find Psalm 139. And I want to start here. There are a lot of titles that go through the books of the Bible, and a lot of the ones that are added in the New Testament aren't actually in the text, but this one is. It's literally here. For most of you, you'll see it says, "For the director of music of David, a psalm." This is King David who wrote this psalm, and he gives it to the worship leader, and he's like, "Hey, let's sing about this." And so I think that's cool. All right, so let's start. We're going to read verses 1 to 6, and then we're going to talk about it and move along. In verse 1, it says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in and behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." This concept here of "you search me, O Lord," and I just want to stop. This word "Lord" here is the name for God. And what's amazing about this name for God is the Hebrews treated this name with such respect that they refused to even utter it correctly. And so anytime you're reading through the Old Testament, you'll see "Lord" and it's capitalized. It's talking about the God above all other gods. And so they would take this word, they would write it, but they would never say it verbally because they kept such reverence for it. And they would put the word for Lord, which was Adonai, with the local word for God, Elohim, and they would call him Adonai Elohim, the Lord God. They kept such reverence for it. We use it in condemnation and frustration nowadays. And the reality was they used it with reverence and respect. So from the very get-go, we need to understand that there's a difference about the one that David is calling out to than I think sometimes we can completely understand. He says, "Oh Lord, you search me and you know me." And then he goes into like these variables here. He's, you know when I sit and when I rise, you know my thoughts. And really the concept here is understanding. Not only do you know my thoughts, but you understand me. You get me. How many of you want to be just somebody to just get you and understand you? I got all kinds of like things that people, sometimes the stuff that comes out of my mouth and what I do, my wife's like, who are you? Like, what's going on? And I just want to impart who I am to her so she can fully understand. But I can't do it in words. God understands all that. He understands all your quirks, all your frustrations, all that kind of stuff. He not only knows you, but understands you completely is the concept here. And it's that knowledge is just, I'm unworthy to even comprehend this understanding, this interaction with you, God, is where David goes. We have a bunch of these in our house, Alexas, and we got them at one point really out of laziness because we have little switches all over the house and most of our lights are controlled, so I can just say, Alexa, turn off the light. One of the greatest features ever is Alexa, add Sprite to the shopping list. And then all of a sudden, I look at my phone and there it is. I can be out shopping or my wife can be out shopping. We can just speak it and all of a sudden, you look on the app and there it is. The problem is, you know, she's always listening. And there's this fear, and we've a number of times have had these interactions where we're having a conversation about something and all of a sudden we get like a promotional for it. We get some kind of invite for it. And so every now and then I'm telling Alexa about Jesus and I'm telling Alexa how much I love the government and I'm just proud of all of them and we do these, come on, laugh a little, people. So we're sitting around a campfire last night, social distancing with some friends of ours, and our friend of ours was telling us about this show on Netflix and about how you keep your house tidy and all these kind of things. I get up this morning, I'm looking through my news feed. Guess what I got a suggestion for? This show on Netflix. And I was like, no way, she's listening. Now here's the deal. Alexa, the government, Google, I mean, their goal is to find out what you want and get you to buy it. They're trying to sell you something. Here's the difference. God knows it all, cares about you, and is not trying to sell you anything. He's just trying to tell you he loves you. He's not trying to sell you anything. He's not giving you hollow words that are not backed up by his presence. He wants to literally give you himself. Just let that sit for a second. Let that wash over you for a second. We think Google has all the answers. God has all the answers, and he knows the ones that we truly need. Come on. So good. So he continues, David continues in verse 7. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Now, listen, that's somewhat terrifying. And at the same time, awesome, right? He starts with this rhetorical question, where can I go? And the answer immediately is nowhere. You can't go anywhere where the God of the universe doesn't see you and know you and want to be present with you. He gives us this list of the heavens, the depths, early in the morning, on the far side of the sea. And I will guide you, and my hand is literally, we are in his grasp. And a lot of times in our lives, we feel like we're floundering because we don't know what's next. God does. He's literally holding you in his hand is the concept here. And then he goes into this piece on darkness. And it's hard around here. We have a lot of light noise, like because of our proximity to the city and all the lights. If you ever go out into the country, if you've ever been out in the country, especially in an overcast night where the moon and the stars can't be seen, you want to know darkness. It is like dark. Or if you've ever been spelunking in a cave and gone deep down in where you get away from the entrance, there is a level of darkness that you cannot even begin to fathom. The concept here is even in those places, God has the greatest night vision that the world can't even begin to comprehend. Sometimes we try to hide ourselves from him. And we'll talk about shame in a couple of weeks. But even in the midst of that, he is right there, ready and waiting for us. And as I was listening, walking through this text, it struck me. We have, in the church, we have a lot of like phrases and nuances that we use that make absolutely no sense outside of the church. And sometimes we try to use them in those contexts and fail miserably. We apologize. But there's a phrase that gets used in the church often, and it's this concept of somebody will say they walked away from Jesus. They walked away from God, or will say, I walked away from God for a time. And the reality is that's not biblical. You can't walk away from God. You can only stop acknowledging that he's with you. You can't walk anywhere away from God. You can only disacknowledge his presence. And regardless of what you do, say, act, live, that you know is contrary to what God wants, he wants to remove that so he can be present with you again. That's his desire. He is not Santa Claus making a list and checking it twice, looking to find out who's naughty or nice. That's not his prerogative. His prerogative is to have a relationship with you, to hold you in his grasp and impart his love upon you. Let's keep going. Here in Psalm 139, verse 13. We're going to look at 13 to 18. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them fully well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. So not only does he know us, not only does he care about us, not only is he everywhere and everywhere with you, he created you. Every inch in being about it. And this is a hard one sometimes because if we're honest, there's aspects of us that we don't like. I'm at the point in my life where I'm starting to find gray hairs, and I secretly pluck them out. And guess what? They come back. And we've got aspects of our lives. We've got aspects of our lives that we just, you know, we don't want anybody to see because of our flawedness. And the reality is, God doesn't care about our flaws. He knows about each and every single one of them. And as you go through this text here, the knitting together in the mother's womb, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You were formed in the secret place. I can't help but think about the secret places of our lives that we kind of tuck away. God even cares about those, the ones that you don't even utter. The ones that you haven't shared with anybody, your dreams, your aspirations, the things that you want to remove, that you struggle with. God cares about all those too. Not only does he care about them, he knew about them before you knew about them because he created you. And if we sit for a second and think about that, we can't help but respond the way the psalmist does with, "How precious are your thoughts of me?" Let that settle in for a second. Not only did God create you, He loves what He created. He loves that He created you. I've kind of gotten out of practice of this rhythm, but I would oftentimes, while I was driving my car or sitting in my office, ask the Lord to bring people to mind to pray for. Just, "Lord, prompt, just prompt me." And there's a number of times where people have popped into my head and I'm driving and I'm like, "Oh, you know, when I get to wherever I'm going, I'm going to text them." A couple years ago, a friend of mine, I hadn't talked to in like 2 years, he pops into my head and I'm driving and I felt like God said, "Hey, you know, text him, let him know." And I'm driving and it got stronger and stronger and stronger. And I literally pulled over on the road on North Broadway. I pulled over and I looked up his number and I texted him and I was like, "Hey, just wanted you to know I'm thinking about you." And as I was saying that, I was like, "Lord, what do you want me to say?" And I felt like God said, "Tell him I see you and I love you." And I said, "Hey, listen, we haven't talked in years, but I just felt like God told me I'm supposed to say, I see you and I love you." In that moment, he was trying to decide whether or not to quit a nonprofit that fed the hungry. And he was debating whether or not God even cared about this mission that he thought God had given to him. And right in that very moment, I text him. Now, was there anything special about me? Do I have some miraculous power? No. The omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, present everywhere, omniscient, omnipotent, all-powerful, God knows what you need when you need it. And sometimes we just need to be available to share it. And in that moment, I was available to share it. And somebody who needed to be reminded that they were not alone heard from God. I think so many times we miss these opportunities. Loneliness is invading from all over. And sometimes we're just looking for that phone call, that text message, that thought, "Does anybody care about me?" And the reality is, even if somebody does not contact you, God is contacting you right now. And He wants you to know that He knows you, He is with you, and He created you. And then this last part of the text here, starting in verse 13, and can I be honest with you? I almost just stopped and didn't go to this part. And the preaching team was like, "No, this is just getting good. You got to wrap this up." In verse 19, it says, "If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offense in me." It's heavy, right? And David's life, you can go back and read it in 1st and 2nd Samuel. It's an amazing, powerful train wreck as well. And there are struggles, and there are times when he finds himself alone in caves and people trying to kill him. And so he kind of just pukes up to God everything that's going on in his life. And then kind of tries to put it in a context, you know, "Please, you know, these people hate you, God. Slay them." And I'm reading through this, and then it lands here in verse 23 for me. It says, "Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Search me and examine and try me It's this concept of search me, examine me, try me, test me. Test these things that I'm feeling. And here's the reality. Sometimes we forget or we think we can't be brutally honest with our Creator. Sometimes our misunderstanding of His reverence gets confused with how we feel. And we don't want to share that because we don't want to come off misreverent to Him, or we don't want to like really let that stuff flesh out. And the reality is God wants us to flesh that out so He can move it aside and get us to the place that He wants us. He wants you to be brutally honest with where you're at. He can take it. He understands because He created you. So be brutally honest with Him. This concept here of anxious is disquieting thoughts. Lord, tackle those disquieting thoughts with inside of me. The gross stuff that I would never share with anybody, down to the parts that I can't verbalize because I feel like people won't understand. Take all of that and then put it in alignment with You. Lead me, Lord. And I land with this. God cares about what you care about. I have what some might call spousal amnesia. I don't know, spouses, if you've ever experienced this before, or maybe friends, you've had this with friends before, where your friend is talking to you and all of a sudden you realize in your brain that you haven't listened to the last 2 minutes, and you're terrified that they're going to ask you a question that you don't have an answer for because you really weren't listening. Has that ever happened to you? I'm the only one? Okay. So this happens with my wife all the time, and she loves me still, so she needs praise and adoration. Just the other day, she's talking to me for like 5 minutes, and I realized that I don't know what she just said. So I tell her about the fact that her team, the New England Patriots quarterback, is out because of COVID, and then she gets this look on her face. I literally just said that to you 5 seconds ago, and I'm like, ah, son of a gun. You ever had that experience? And so the reality is, you're listening, but you're not hearing. I'm listening, but I'm not hearing or comprehending. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? No. Guess what? God does. Not only does He listen, He hears. Not only does He hear, He comprehends. Not only does He comprehend, He takes it all. And so I land with this. Not only does God know you, but He understands you. Not only does He understand you, but He is with you. Not only is He with you, He created you. Not only did He create you, but He cares about you. You are not alone. So there's a couple responses, I think, for us this morning. One is just to hear this and let it sit and settle, that you're not alone. You need to hear me say this to you this morning, that you're not alone. Because loneliness is just there and just constant, and it's just battling. Especially during the season, for those who are solo in their homes, especially in the quarantine. Yeah, we have Zoom. We have ways to communicate. We can communicate with people all over the world. I was literally FaceTiming with a friend of mine in Australia the other day. Like, we can do all those kind of things. But when the lights go out and the phone is off, this thing settles back in. And some of you just need to hear that the God of the universe is with you. He's present. And maybe you just need a reminder. Maybe you need to pull out your phone and set a reminder every day at 7 o'clock that goes off and says, God is with you. Maybe you need to type it out, write it out, put it on a note, put it on your mirror, a place where you can see it, put it in your car. You need to know and be reminded that the God of the universe is present with you. And then how about just for a hot minute, we're honest with him. He can take it. And then I didn't put this one up here, but I want to remind you, maybe God is calling you to be that voice for him for somebody else. Maybe God is prompting you. Right now, you're sitting wherever you are and somebody's name pops into your head. Like in this moment, just think about it. Let a name pop in your head. I really believe with all my heart, mind, and soul, God wants you to contact that person and just say, hey, I'm thinking about you. I care about you. You literally could be changing somebody's life. God wants the world to know that he loves and cares about them. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the truths from Psalm 139. I thank you that although they were written 2,400 years ago, they still matter today in 2020, when the world seems so chaotic and this thing called loneliness just wants to settle in. Lord, I just ask that you would speak, truth to all of us now. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray, amen. Before we conclude with the last worship song this morning, we're going to do communion together.